And we're back. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Harold. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 16, Nashville, Matchmaking Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment and a review. See, I got through that.
Yeah, that was good. That was actually very good. Now, look, why are we doing this matchmaking recap, right? Because this is the first time, as all the seasons we've done, why are we doing this matchmaking recap? Let's go back to the beginning. Just to remind some of you who may have forgotten. Sometime back in the day, Terry made a deal with the devil and said he'd never watch reality TV unless there was a Black Bachelor. Well, pandemic hits, ABC says, hold my beer. And they give us Matt James. So now he's stuck keeping his word and watching The Black Bachelor. Me being the good friend that I am, what do? I'll watch the show with him. Now, in return, what's he got to do? Be a good friend and watch one of my favorite shows. Well, happening at the same time was this little show, Married at First Sight. And I think it was, I want to say it was season 12, right? And I'm like, you know, this is the show I need Tell to recap with me. So we started with season 13, but everyone kept saying, go back, please, go back and do season 12. Go back and do season 12. Tell says, I don't go backwards. So we decided to do one better. And that's why we're here in Atlanta. And we've got a special guest doing this season 16 matchmaking recap with us. Please welcome to the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Chris Williams. Chris, welcome to the show, brother. Welcome.
What's up, man? I appreciate you guys having me on here. This is my first podcast on Married at First Sight since I've been off the show, so I appreciate y'all having me on here.
Well, we appreciate having you on here. Now that you said that, because that was going to be one of my questions, is what made you decide to come on our podcast now?
Yanni is a legend. So he
he's not going to be able to get out the door if you go that route.
No, Yanni's a good guy. He's familiar with my uncle, Rick Party. So Rick was like, man, Yanni's a good guy, legend, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, man, this would be a great time to get on a podcast. Mm. I haven't really talked about the show publicly since the ending of the show, and I've turned down a lot of interviews, whether it be like national interviews or local, just get myself together.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I'm ready, you know, chat it up with y'all.
Well, and we're glad that you're here, first of all. And, you know, I've told you this before, my wife stopped watching the show after season 12. So I told you, you're the reason my wife stopped watching the show. Okay, so now I got to watch the show myself. So what's been going on with you since the show, though?
A lot. But before I say that, also, I like that this is different from the other podcasts because mm-hmm. it's males.
Right.
Yeah. And when you see the recaps, it comes from a woman's perspective because it's mostly women that are giving recaps. Mm-hmm. And the guys that are giving recaps, they are... You know, they're not realistic. So. They're not realistic.
Well, there's nothing but the real over here.
Yeah. But what I've just been focusing on myself. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, my grandmother, she wasn't on the show. On my dad's side, she was big advocate for therapy. Mm-hmm. She was in politics, Chicago. You know, worked with several mayors in Chicago throughout the years.
Right.
She was just big on, like, gotta go to therapy. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go, you know, and you know, get off the phone and go, no, goddamn therapy. And she's like, you gotta go. And she sent me a clip of a lady who was doing counseling, couples counseling on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I watched it. It was a little, like, maybe 2-minute clip. And I was like, man, she's deep. I might want to go to therapy. So I reached out to her. And she was like, you know what's funny? I said, what? I slid in her DMs. And she was like, I'm watching you right now. You're on my TV. She was like,
man, I'm never watching the show again.
But she was like, I counsel celebrities, Black celebrities all over the country, actors, actresses, entertainers. She said, I'll clear my schedule for you. She's like, I don't have time for anybody else, but I'll clear my schedule for you. And we started off with one session, and I'm going off. I'm thinking I'm paying her just to listen. I'm going off. And this person, I was like, can I cuss? She said, yes. F this person, F this. And then she was like, all right, let's go back to childhood. And I went back to childhood and F this family member and F this family member. And she was like, are you done? And I was like, no, F this person. And when I got finished, she listened. She was just taking notes. Mm-hmm. And when she finished, it was like she took a mirror and turned it on myself. And I was like, who is that? And she was like, that's you. I was like, crap. I was like, how much is the second session? I was like, I need the second. And it turned from a second session to literally a year plus of sessions. I had nervous breakdowns. I had it was a lot, suicidal thoughts, like, you know. I went through a whole lot mentally, and she brought me through that, and it was like a healing period. Every session the mirror was on me. I was pointing the fingers at people, and right. She was like, yo, no, look here. And I was like, man, that's true, I did do that. But yeah, so it's been a process, a journey, learning and growing. I'm from the south side of Chicago. And you know, I take pride in that.
Right.
But it doesn't matter where you're from in the country, black people in general, majority of us come from toxic families. And one of the things she taught me, her name is Love McPherson, by the way, she's in Chicago. And one of the things she taught me is when a baby is born, it's a blank sheet of paper. And you have the subconscious and you have the conscious. The subconscious, it is being taught everything that the baby sees. And the paper is being filled up by the stuff that the parents are saying that they're not saying, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And she was like, you've been taught X, Y, Z, and you don't even know it. So now we have to undo and reteach you what a healthy relationship looks like. And I was like, man, dang. But so as she taught me, you know, the different things about what a healthy relationship looks like, she was teaching me acquire skills. You got to practice on communication.
Right.
It's a skill set. Just a whole bunch of other stuff she was teaching me. It was like, man, I want healthy. I want a little bit toxic too. I want to throw a shoe at me one time. That's, you know, that we
all right, so coming up, we're going to cover some of those season 16 couples, and we're going to also make some predictions past decision day. Did you ever go back and look at your season again?
So I watched every episode. Every episode. Every episode.
So with these new eyes, what did you see?
You got to be specific. I saw a lot. No, I'm saying, you got to be specific. So you say what I saw, well, explain, so I can explain it the proper way.
So looking at season 12, again, looking at every episode, what are some of the two things that you took away? I said two big things, because there's probably a lot that you can look at, but what are two big things you walked away and like, damn, that,
yeah,
and that?
I think it's, I think Chris then, and I don't want to try to make it seem like, oh, I've been on a spiritual journey and I'm just such a different person now. No, I'd rather my fruit show,
right.
You know? But Chris then was, you know, like pointing fingers.
Right.
Like, I felt like the reason why season 12 happened the way it happened is because of this person, that person, right. And I somehow made myself a victim. But in reality, I only can take responsibility for my actions and what my response was, or what my initiation of action was. So I think I spent that time, and I think about it often, regularly. I still think about how I could have responded to the scenarios and the situations, whether I put myself in it or somebody else put me in it. I think about how I could have responded differently to that.
Mm. What's very interesting to me, and I even said this to you when we talked, it's we easily watch these shows, a lot of people in America are watching. But the vulnerability that it takes to go out there. I mean, if I had a camera crew that followed me around, I wouldn't say now, I'm in my 20s, oh, good Lord. But if I had a camera crew following me around all day and looking mm-hmm. at my whole dating life and my interactions and how I handled situations and the world got a chance to see it, mm-hmm. it's a different thing to be able to handle. So kudos to you and anybody that goes on these shows to put themselves out there, because I know that's not an easy thing
yes,
to have everybody that's kind of – and all they know is this little snapshot. Mm-hmm. And I do applaud you for the therapy, because I do think a lot of people, mm-hmm. especially a lot of Black people, we need to go get therapy. I've done it. And I think something you should always do, even if it's just like a once a year check-in, mm-hmm. check-up, put that mirror back in your face
Be
like, okay, I'm getting better, mm-hmm. or actually I've, gone backwards.
Yeah. I remember during that time the season was going on, because I felt like at that time a lot of the editing was manipulative. So, like, you would have conversations that you'd be having with a person, and they'd take a different conversation and take the audio from that and apply it towards another scene. So it looked like you said something completely different. Mm. And you'd be like, I didn't say that. That's not how it happened. So it was frustrating, but I had to, it's a healing process. I'm still healing.
Yeah.
It's not even just about Married at First Sight. I think that anytime, like I said, you come from an impoverished neighborhood, impoverished community, impoverished family, or whatever it is. I'm talking about just Black people in general.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us, come from, poverty, And when you think of poverty, poverty is infatuated with death, gangs, disease, lack of resources, lack of monetary value to a certain, degree. When you have that, it's real easy to try to make excuses for what you may not have or what you not, what you don't understand. My pastor in Chicago always used to tell me, he said, it may not have been your fault, but it's your responsibility. Mm. So even though, hey, I may not have necessarily seen a healthy relationship growing up, it's still my responsibility to figure out how to be in a healthy relationship. So going through that period, I used to watch the show, and I used to go on my rants. And I had people in my ear, like, honestly, this is a true story. I've received offers, to have my own reality show. I can do it how I want. Like, big networks, bigger than the network that it's on. And I turned it down. I've turned it down. So it's still on the table. I've turned it down. Because I was like, I don't want to be a villain. I don't want to be looked at as a villain. That's not who I am. That's not how I am. A lot of people in the city and across the country knew me for being an entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur. That's a whole nother story, but that's how I came into this, And it was just a big, like I said, a big mirror that, was pointing towards me. So,
as you talk about even the things that people don't see, which is, the edits that make it look the way the narrative is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
What about the matchmaking process, though? I mean, leading up to it, and as we get ready to go towards the talking about the couples from season 16, it's like, we watch them in this matchmaking episode,
mm-hmm.
but there's a big process that goes on before you even get there. What is that like, going through that process and having to answer all those questionnaires?
Oh, so if I'm be very honest, I kind of knew that they were gonna pick me before they actually said, "Hey, we're gonna pick you." I kind of knew,
We need a villain. You know what? That guy.
No,
there we go.
I don't know if that was what they were, intending to happen. Because you got to remember, a lot of stuff that happened, it was happening in real time.
Right.
So one thing I do know, and one of the former castmates reached out to me and told me this. He said that from one of everybody's favorite seasons, but he said they have a narrative that they create mm-hmm. already. So when you go through the process, you have psychological tests that you take. So you got several hundred questions that you're answering. hours long. Then they ask you, you know, the initial survey questionnaire that everybody takes. Then you meet with their psychologists, you know. You meet with the medical doctors, you know, where you got to get a check, make sure you're good and stuff, all type of stuff. So there is a whole process that they go through. And to be honest with you, the process is so sophisticated. They know the type of person that they're getting before they even match you. Mm. So that's why they can say, hey, this person is compatible with this person, because they already have these several, even you can filibuster through it, you can lie on it, but it's still going to reveal, you know what I'm saying, who you are, basically.
Which question I have on that, because you watched it before you got on your season, right?
So, not really, to be honest with you.
Okay, because
people in my family used to watch it, but I didn't really watch it, you know.
Because because my fear has always been, if I ever went on that show, it would be, oh, they're gonna make me with the person that I wasn't attracted to, and that would be the thing. So, as you said, as they're building these characters, building these personality profiles and these characters to match, it's interesting, because that's something we didn't think about. A couple hundred questions to answer and a couple hours to go through all this testing. Okay.
And I think that they reached out to me several times before I actually said, hey, all right. But the way they phrased it, they was like, hey, we are the producers of Love is Blind. And I watched that. So I was like, oh, Love is Blind. Cool. They was like, yeah, we want to, you know, have you, you know, a part of it, you know, apply, blah, 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 go through. And I was like, I'm thinking Love is Blind. So when I get the questionnaire, I see it says Married at First Sight. And I was like, yo, I got tricked. But I was like, because you get to pick with Love is Blind. But I was like, with this, I was like, all right, you know what I'm saying? Forget it. I'll do it. And I did it, answered. So I answered it one way. I think it was like a few hundred questions. And something happened where my computer messed up or something. So I had to redo it. And I think I double thought it, and I wasn't as direct and specific as I should have been, as I was on the initial one. So that I think about that as well. When they ask you specifics like hair, type of hair, kinky or coarse. When they ask you height, they ask you weight, ethnicity, what do you like, you know? And I think I was a little bit more broad than what I should have been. Yeah. I know what I like.
You don't need a questionnaire for that. So, having gone through the process and looking at what these folks from season 16 are going through in the matchmaking special, but you've gone through the process, if you could be a matchmaker, what would you do different for these people?
You know, I was thinking as I was watching, so I want to be clear, I haven't watched a season since my season. I was so disgusted. But I watched it because I knew I was coming on here. And I'm not going to lie, the matchmaking process is nerve-wracking, but it's exciting. Everything for me, from the day that they told me, hey, we found you a match, to, you know, wedding day, it was exciting. If you go back, I'm dancing on tables. I got blow up dolls. you know, are we having a good time? And I think that if I did have the person that I felt like, or if let's take it off the table, if I was more open to, you know, you know what I was given, we probably would have the potential to be the greatest couple in history, because I have a strong personality. Like, I can be charismatic, goofy, you know what I'm saying? But I'm also outspoken, right? You know, so I think that we, you know, with the right situation, I think it would have been, you know what I'm saying, a great thing. But it reminded me, watching season 16, it reminded me of the good times that I had on the show. And it brought back the feelings, the excitement, the surprise. I remember getting a haircut and Pastor Cal walked in. Like, that wasn't planned. I didn't know he was coming, you know. And it was like, man, you know, my head half done, you know. Could have came back, you know, when he finished. No, but I think that process, that period was amazing. Mm. I loved it. I enjoyed it, you know. I do wish that I would have reached out sooner to a previous cast member prior to me getting married. And the producers were kind of making it seem like that was something that was frowned upon. So I was like, all right, cool. But I think that things would have went completely different because I would have played chess and not checkers
right.
during the season. And I was getting advice from people who had never been on a reality show, and it was bad advice.
Yeah, it's like getting marriage advice from single people. Never do it.
It was bad. It was bad.
So, all right, let's get to the couples for season 16, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to get thoughts on the couples. We're going to go by couple, get the thoughts on the couples. And then we're going to ask, do you think they're going to make it or not? Not just the decision day, because we know a lot of them go, okay, decision day. But what we've noticed, and you may not have seen this because you haven't been watching the episodes the season since, but what we've noticed is that a lot of people say yes on decision day, and then by the reunion, ain't nobody together. So we're just going to go ahead and go, okay, who's going to last past this 23-episode season that's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. So let's start with first one. And it's funny. This first person here has actually got your name. It's your namesake. Chris, the 40-year-old virgin, as they called him. And Nicole, who was obviously ready to burst. These are the two people who hadn't had sex the longest. What did you think of their match?
To be honest with you, not just them, it was questionable about the matches that they made. You know, when you listen to the home visits and stuff, it was like, I know about my culture, our culture, but it's obvious on certain people. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about Nicole. Let me say this first also. Let me preface myself. Nicole is fine. Y'all married, y'all can't see it.
I'm not married.
Oh, okay. Nicole, fine. You know, I'm curious to see. If I had to choose whether they would make it without seeing any previews as far as into the season, I think that they probably have like a little rocky start because he don't look like what she's used to. I could be wrong. You know, I could be misjudging her. But I think that I think that she's serious. I think he, you know what I'm saying, serious about love. So I think that it can work if they, you know, work it together. I'll say yes.
Well, I will have to respectfully disagree with you on this one. And this is where I get into it with these matches, because I agree that I have to see a little bit more interaction between mm-hmm. the two. But just on paper, yeah, there's some things that you think would work out, and they think that his soft gentleness is going to be a balance for her alpha female energy. And I just don't see her backing down. I think she's going to walk all over him. And I don't think he has that in him. Now, what I'm seeing so far, again, he could totally surprise me, but I just see her being the dominant one in the relationship. And I'm not sure how he'll respond to that. Or would she get annoyed that he seems soft? Mm-hmm. And with that, like over time, it could be cute, right? If I met a girl who's just really super sweet and nice, that's awesome for like a week. Yeah. But after a while, I'm like, you throw a shoe at me.
Yeah.
Something. I need to know that there's boundaries, right?
So
with him, I just don't see, right now, I don't see that happening. I'm hopeful for all of them. And one thing that you just said is I think all these people are looking for the one and the love, especially what you described of the process to go through all that.
No, I got one couple that I'm like,
We're gonna get to those.
We're gonna get to them because you know I'm much. I don't think they're gonna make it. But McKinley and Dominique, and Dominique is the young one.
Picture again.
Dominique is the young one. She's 25 years old. And Terrell, you had some reservations just based on age alone.
I do, because with Dominique, I mean, she's gorgeous. Girl, I really like her personality, but 25, like how many people at 25 are ready to commit to this process, right? Mm-hmm. Where you just get married at first sight and it could work. And she tends to only date older guys, which I understand that. Mm-hmm. But out of all these older relationships and all these older guys you've dated, not one of them snatched up a 25-year-old beautiful woman. I mean, like she's gorgeous. So I'm just wondering, like, is there, I'm waiting to see what's, and you look at the previews, you see there's some drama that's going to happen with those two. I'm waiting to see more about what is her deal.
So I didn't see that. What was the drama that?
There's a scene that they show in one of them where she's walking out crying with the box. Looks like she's like moving out of the apartment. Some of the, again, don't know, but that's just what it looks like. She's crying, upset. But I'm just thinking, like, what is it about her and her situation? But also, I just don't know, could a 25-year-old commit to married at first sight?
I think you got some mature people that are mature 25-year-olds. But looking, I think it's a cultural difference, though. Mm. And I think that that's the reason why I'm kind of like, you know, on the left side as opposed to the right side with that, because they said she was biracial.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she has a black mama. Mm-hmm. Y'all know how much influence a black mama has in a household.
And her mama like this.
Yeah, so I think it will work because she probably has a strong personality. Mm. I don't know, but she probably has a strong personality. If she has a strong personality, it depends on what type of male he is. If he's an alpha male, it's right. over. You know, it's not going to work. But if he is, you know, I love my white friends. So they won't take offense at this. If he's like, you know, come on, let's kumbaya. You know,
One of the things we see in the preview is that she's got a little wild side to her too, especially with the at the bachelorette party. She's got a little wild side, and she has no problem flirting on either side. So,
and that's what I'm saying. He's probably not going to be her speed. Mm-hmm. Like, we know how black women at 25 is. I love 25-year-olds. When I was 20, I like older women. I like the older women, but. They like to party. They like to have fun, you know? And that's why I dated older women, because they don't want to settle down, like you said, going back to your point. So I think that if she was walking out crying with a box, that means that she's spoiled more than likely. Mm. And she likes to have things her way. And she probably saw that in the household with mom. Like I said, black moms have the most influence out of all the moms. You know, they just dominate. This is my house. This is how it's going. And you're going to stop running in and out.
Well, I think we're all on the same page here, because one reason I'm saying that she's not going to make it, she's 25. That's it. Yeah. I have nothing else, really. That's just it. But the next one, Shaquille and Kirsten. And
why are you looking at me?
I don't even have to look at this guy, because I already know where his mind is going. So I'm going to turn the other way.
I'm going first, or you going?
Okay, I'll go first. Shaquille and Kirsten, I see what the experts tried to do with putting them together. I don't think that she's going to be as into him. She sounds like she's looking for
Chris from this, the First Sight season 12.
She's looking for, I saw they did that. But I think she's that's looking funny. For the stunner that's going to be standing up there, and he might not be that physical thing that she's looking for. So I don't see them really working out. I'm curious, like, is he on the show because of his bow tie game? And I can't even call it game, because the bow tie that he has when he gets married has, like, feathers or something on it. I was like, what is this on this tie? And they were clip-ons. You know, I was like, you make bow ties, but you make clip-on bow ties. I don't know about that. Now, I will say that Kirsten, what I like about her is she's smart, because she told us that I have a master's degree and I also have a bachelor's degree.
You're not going to let that go.
I am not going to let that go. I'm sorry. It's like, okay. I have a master's degree and I also have a bachelor's degree. Yeah, we know that. But I don't see those two.
I have a high school diploma.
I have a master's degree, and then I got my bachelor's, then I got my GED. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. But I just don't see them working out. I don't think that he is what she is looking for.
Okay. It's my turn?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I think that she fine. Let me just say that. She should have been on season 12. You know? They wanted to... Dr. Pepper, I was watching it. Dr. Pepper is... I'm not even... It's not even shade to her. Mm. But just her decision-making is really questionable. Mm. At times. And the reason why I say that is because she wanted to put him with the other girl that had dreadlocks.
Right.
And I was like, that is not going to work. And she was trying to like argue, oh, she's a great girl. And it was just like, no, you can't do that. I really wish that they would put a black woman expert on there. Mm. That's what they need.
Right.
They need a black woman expert, because she's going to be like, Dr. Pepper, cut it out.
That ain't going
to
work.
And the thing is, if you listen to Pastor Kyle, even with my season, he'd throw some good wisdom out there, like why these couples shouldn't be matched. And he was the reason why he wasn't matched with the lady with the dreads.
Right.
And it's probably nothing wrong with her. Mm-hmm. But as far as compatibility, no. I said if I had to choose between those two, it would have been Kirsten. But I don't think that, like you said, I was kind of questionable because I'm not trying to diss somebody, but his demeanor, his swag, it seems like it's different from what her demeanor, her swag is.
Right.
You know, she seems like she like, you know, nice, clean. No, let me go back. She looked like she like. Like, she probably used to dating, like, you know, like the a little rough around the edges, but could clean up type guy.
Right.
And I don't think that he's that. It doesn't mean that he's a bad person or anything, but I don't pick them last and pass the past decision day, or reunion rather.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are picking them. And again, unless she just wants to be a beard, I don't see that being the case. Let's just be real. All right, so Clint and Gina, what?
Nothing.
Clint and Gina. Now, Gina wanted a 12 out of 10, which anytime somebody says that's what they want, you know, they're setting themselves up for failure. But you think it's another reason.
So, at first, you think Clint and Gina, it potentially could work. But here's my two concerns. Clint is very sharp dude. I'm impressed with the whole sailing thing and the flying planes, all the stuff that he's into. He's very intelligent. And not to say that Gina is not, but as you hear her talk, I wonder if she's going to be able to communicate with him at that level. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's it. Now, that might not be a big deal to him. Again, we haven't seen them two interact yet, but I did notice that there's a little bit of a difference in how they interact. And then the other thing is Clint wants someone who is fit and a natural beauty. Well, how many people that you know own a salon that do cosmetics go natural?
Yeah.
And I was like, she's not. I mean, I'm curious what she looks like with all the makeup, but I don't think that he's going to like that aspect of her.
Yeah. She fine, too. I'm just being honest, man.
We're rating on fineness, by the way.
No, we shallow. I mean, that's all you got to go by.
No. Do I need to hold the mirror up?
bring the mirror back. Yeah. Here we go.
Get it together, Chris. Get it together. I think that I'll say they'll make it.
See, that's where you and I agree. I think they can possibly work. Yeah. I understand all the concerns that Terrell has.
Yeah.
And they make sense.
Uh-huh.
However, they're both older. And when you're at that point, you know, okay, here's what I will deal with now. Now, had they been 10 years younger, they'd be like, nah, I'm out. I can see where he's going the same route that you're saying, that, you know, Clint would be like, nah, I'm good, I'm out. But I think he's going to trust the process a little more, and they could potentially work. Potentially. So I got to give thumbs up to somebody. So at least one couple's got to make it. At least one. So that leaves us with one more, which is Eris and Jasmine. And Eris is a mama's boy whose mom still does his laundry and folds his underwear. And I think I already know where you're going on this, huh?
These two could possibly make it.
What? That's not what I thought you were about to say.
I know. I did some thinking on the drive up. These two could possibly make it. Because she's made the comment that in previous relationships, guys get too comfortable and too complacent. So she's probably that nurturing, takes care of her man, which is what obviously Eris needs, because his mama does all the stuff for him. So if she can fill that gap and do his laundry and all the different things that he gets from his mom, everything else could work out. I mean, I think they could be a good, attractive match to each other. They both seem like they want the same thing. Now, I am curious because she's a preacher's kid, and they made the comment on the show. It's like, well, there's two types of preacher's kids, right? Which one is she? I don't know, but we'll find out. But I'm curious, but I think they could possibly make it out of all of them. These are the ones that get my thumbs up.
I say no.
She's not fine enough?
No, everybody on the season fine. I was like, man. out of all the women in Nashville,
they found these. They picked of all the queens.
I didn't mean
of all like the that. Italian queens, the black queens, the mixed queens, and the white queens.
Hey, you're crazy, bro. I wouldn't go in there. But all right, cool. Get yourself together, Chris. This is therapy 101.
That's gonna be the name of this episode. Look Get yourself together, Chris.
But I think that they look like two amazing people. I question his readiness for marriage.
Mm. Yep.
I question his readiness for marriage.
Yep.
It's not a test on him, you know. No. I just question it. She looks like she, it's like, I equate, just based off what I see. I can't,
yeah, right.
We can't go about anything more than the episode. And based on what I saw, it's kind of like you get the vibes of you have this person who has everything together, but then you have this other person, say mama's boy and all that. But it's kind of like it could kind of come across as it appears as if he's more further off than he actually is, if that makes sense. Whether it be from a financial standpoint or from a relational or emotional standpoint, it just seems like it was a bad match.
So here's where, okay, I agree with you in the fact of it doesn't seem like he's ready, right?
Mm-hmm.
And based on, because looking at, I think it was the kickoff special that aired the next day, the fact is that his cousin was like, they found you somebody? Now, when your family gonna throw you under the bus on national TV like that, there's a reason.
Yeah.
Yep, so they've seen some things, right? So what you said you saw in the matchmaking is what they've seen for his lifetime, right? But if we remember, and this was before your season, so it was season 11, New Orleans, Woody and Armani. Woody was the player. And that was the one that people thought, oh, yeah, no, there's no way they make it. They're still going strong.
Yeah.
They're now parents.
Yeah.
Is if when people reach that moment, it doesn't matter what we did in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we can, a leopard can't change the spots.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can get some tie-dye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cover it up a little bit. So we got a couple here that we'll look at. We've got to revisit this when we get to the end of the season and see how we do here on our predictions.
Yeah.
Because it seems like you put a post out about this, about the success rate of these couples before.
I did that.
But at the same time, it's if they're 100%, we wouldn't believe them anyway. So
I think that the thing is this. I probably shouldn't say it on here, but I just feel like if they could switch and turn some stuff around, like during the journey, they would have a higher success rate.
Right.
And what I mean by that is the only time you talk to the counselors or the experts is when you see it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times is that in the season?
Right.
Once or twice. So you're taking somebody who's 25 who has never been married and probably seen divorces and stuff in her family, and there's no resources for her to improve. As we talked about earlier, it's a skill set.
Right.
How can I improve my skill set within this 8 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that the resources, I would like to see the resources increase during the season for them. Give access to the experts beyond, you know, the show when the lights is on.
You know what? Hey, y'all thought you would not agree with anything that Chris said, but I saw a lot of y'all saying this online throughout the last season, like, where are the experts? Where are the experts? Where are the experts? Look at that. See? Look at you. Now you're looking at yourself in the mirror saying, how did I agree with Chris?
Yeah. The thing is, you're getting marriage advice from producers.
Right.
So they're the ones that are giving you the counsel and giving you the therapy and all their lives, you know what I'm saying, for the most part, is effed up, you know?
Right.
And it's kind of like, man, I wish I had more resources than Dan. Resources after. The reason why the success rate is where it is after decision day is because it's like a one-night stand.
Mm.
Once the season over, all right, go to the next season.
Yeah.
And then now you don't have the resources to be able to work through stuff.
Mm.
We just got married. We don't know, we still learn each other.
Right.
We really, even though we were married for 8 weeks, we were just dating.
Right.
So now, different stuff that we need to help us go to the next level, we don't have that. So I think they need new experts, a different set of experts. Mm-hmm. So you have the ones that's for TV and glamour, but you got a different set of people that's behind the scenes that's working with you, guiding mm-hmm. you, counseling you and stuff. I think that that would help the success rate go, you know, higher.
I like that.
Indeed.
I agree.
Hey, Chris, you know, appreciate you sitting down with us, my brother. Glad that you made us the first podcast you sat down with.
Yeah, man. I appreciate y'all having me. Seriously, man.
No, thank you. Thank you. Really enjoyed it. And you're hilarious. I mean, like, I followed you on Instagram, and I was like, see some stuff you post, but like, just to meet you, listen to him, I'm like, this dude is hilarious. So, thank you.
I was nervous because I knew Yanni. I was like, God, I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm the nice one. He's the asshole of the cast.
You are not the nice one.
His name is Yanni Rude. It's in the name.
So look, he's Chris Williams. I'm Yanni Rude.
I'm just terrible.
See, that's what you get. That's karma. Make sure you follow us at Chris Williams 2 with that's with two I's at Yanni Rude at Just Terrible and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of the random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet, and we'll talk about it on a regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Cheers.